Good morning. Everybody feel good today? Can you hear me? Good. Can you hear me on the back row? Marilyn, can you hear me? Now, the reason I ask is every time I speak, my wife always tells me after the sermon, though, she said, I couldn't hear anything you said. I had problems. She said, your voice goes up and down. So, anyway, I just want to be sure that everybody hears me today, and especially my dear wife, and here she comes. Can you hear me? Okay. I always like to start out with a little humor, and so here's a story I heard recently. It seems that a limo driver was dispatched to the airport. He was supposed to pick up a passenger from an incoming flight. When he arrived, much to his surprise, the passenger happened to be the Pope. He was a little nervous at first, but once he got the Pope's luggage into the back of the limo, he came around to the driver's side and was going to get in, but sitting behind the wheel was the Pope. He said, excuse me, sir, I believe you should be in the back. The Pope says, listen, son, I don't get a chance very often to drive. And he said, this is an opportunity that I would like to take to just get out and drive and have a little freedom. He said, you can understand that. And the Pope being convincing, it's hard to say no to the Pope from what I understand. And he convinced the limo driver, hey, I just want to drive for a little bit. There won't be any problem. So the driver got in the back where the Pope should be, and the Pope left the airport, and once he got out on the freeway, he put the pedal to the metal, and he got that limo up to about 95 miles an hour. And you know what happened? It wasn't long before a siren came on, and one of the local policemen had pulled the Pope over. The policeman walked up to the driver's side. Pope rolled down the window. Policeman looked inside. Looked in the front seat. Looked in the back seat. Paused for just a moment and said, excuse me, I need to go call my boss. So he walked back to his car, got on the radio, and said, hey, give me the chief. I got something happening here that I need some help with. Chief got on the line and he said, listen, Chief, I got a real problem out here on the freeway. I just stopped a limo doing 95 miles an hour, and I'm not sure what I need to do. The chief said, well, my gosh, just give him a ticket. I'm not sure that I ought to do that. What do you mean you're not sure you ought to do that? Well, it looks to me like, sir, this is somebody very important. He says, what do you mean is he important? He ain't the governor, is he? He said, no, sir, I believe he's more important than that. And he said, well, what makes you think he's more important than the governor? He says, well, I can't be too certain, sir, exactly who it is, but I do know that he's important enough to have the Pope driving him. Okay. Our scripture this morning is from Galatians chapter 5. Live by the Spirit, I say, and do not gratify the desires of the flesh. For what the flesh desires is opposed to the Spirit, and what the Spirit desires is opposed to the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to prevent you from doing what you want. By contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, and self-control. In Paul's letters to the early Christian church in Galatia, he urges the people to put aside their old ways. to start thinking about things they needed to do to change their lives. And above all, to be led by the Spirit. Now, when you and I make a commitment to become a Christian, there are certain things that God expects us to do. And these fruits of the Spirit that Paul refers to will enable us to be the kind of person that God would expect us to be. Let me just go over those things that Paul mentions one more time. They are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Each of these things that God is willing to make available for us are very important in developing a Christian character and in providing for us the tools that we need to go out in today's troubled world and be a better witness for the Christ that we profess to follow. Trying to be that kind of person that God expects us to be is not something that is going to happen overnight. It is a lifetime process. I have often wondered in my own life which of these fruits that God would make available to me that I am most lacking in. You see, I think that for the most of us, especially as we get older, making changes in our life can sometimes be very difficult. And also, let's face it, there are times when we're just not aware of some of those areas in our own life where God would like for us to make some improvements. It seems like it's just a whole lot easier to find and look and point out the faults of others and how they need to improve rather than look at our own self and evaluate those things in our life that we might be missing. So now for our little congregation participation this morning. You thought I was going to forget about that, didn't you? But no, I'm going to ask you a question. How many of you at one time or another in your life, and be honest, have ever had a performance review? Let me see the hands. Now, come on, raise them up. All right. My question to you is, and don't everybody speak at once, what was the purpose of that performance review? Come on. Okay. How many of you, let me see the hands. Okay, this, I bet you I'll get shorter on this one. How many of you, after you had a performance, you felt like that it helped? I got one here. I always listened to the good stuff, didn't you? But anyway, a performance review, I think, would be very important to us as Christians if we only had somebody impartial to give it to us. I guess I could give you guys a performance review if you'd like. I don't know if I could be impartial or not, because it's always easier for me to see the faults of somebody else, like I say, than to look at my own self. But every once in a while I do get to thinking, I wonder what would happen if God could give us a performance review. What if we had a time we took up with God when He could talk to us and say, hey, here are some areas in your life you need to work on. Now, I don't know about you. I really don't. But I have a feeling that mine might go something like this. Last night I dreamed a dream like I have never dreamed before. There I was standing alone in wide-eyed amazement outside of heaven's door. My heart was pounding. My hands were trembling. I just stood there not knowing what to do. Should I knock? Should I enter? Should I just peek inside and see if there was anyone I knew? Then a voice came from out of nowhere and said, "Welcome. We've been waiting for you. Just have a seat right where you are. It's time for your performance review." It was a voice of authority. And it must have gave me quite a scare, because I did exactly as I was told, and I didn't even look for a chair. I sat there for a long time, or maybe it was just a little while. Then an angel appeared with an almost blinding radiance and a beautiful heavenly smile. I couldn't speak because I was in total awe. I had never been in the presence of an angel before. But somehow I knew that whatever this heavenly being had to say would determine whether or not I passed through that door. Then he spoke in a voice so gentle that my fears just washed away. And he said, "Don't be afraid, but please listen very intently to what I have to say. For I am not here to tell you about the things that you've been doing right. I think you know when you do those things that are very pleasing in God's sight. Instead, my job in giving this review is to go over some of the areas in your life that God's a little disappointed in you. Let's start with humility. Just to be quite honest, you don't seem to have very much at all. And as for your stubbornness, sometimes talking to you can be like talking to a wall. And when will you learn that patience is a virtue? Take the time, wait, and listen for God's will." Speaking of listening, you need to try it more often so that you can learn how others may feel. It's very frustrating when you think you're right all the time. What counts more up here is your humility. Words of anger are out of line. And when you speak of others, be very careful what you say, for unkind words once spoken can never be taken away. And when you speak to God, when you turn to Him in prayer, don't just speak words that come from your mouth. Be sure your heart is there. Count your blessings. Don't get caught up in complaining about insignificant things. God gives us today. Rejoice and be glad, for we don't know what tomorrow may bring. If you're going to talk the talk, you better walk the walk. If you're a Christian, you need to show it. Live your life so that not only you, but everyone else will know it. That means letting God be a part of your life and each and every day, and no matter if you're at home, at work, with friends, or even at play. You know, I could go on longer, but your time is almost through, and I have other people waiting to hear their performance review. Then he put his arms around me and he said, "Let me share some advice that comes straight from above. There are many things someone may give, but the greatest gift is love. And God knows that you're not perfect. That's why He gave His Son to die for you. So don't you think with just a little more effort, you could do so much better on your next review?" When I awoke, I pondered those things as I lay quietly in my bed. And I tried my very best to remember everything that the angel had said. For I know that one day I will stand at heaven's door, and it will be by God's amazing grace that I walk through. Strengthen me, Lord, in my faith. Don't let me fail. That final review. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the fruits of your Spirit. We thank you, Lord, that you make them available to us. And we pray that you will give to us, Heavenly Father, the grace to receive them and to use them, be better witnesses in this world we live. In Jesus' name, amen.